What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of First in Sim. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and on today's episode, I'm being joined by one of my favorite members of the league, and the only member I've actually met in person, Negs. Hope you enjoy. All right, I'm being joined here today by Negs. What's going on, man?
It's going good. How about you?
Hey, doing pretty good. So to start out, how did you discover simulation leagues?
I actually was in a NBA simulation league with another one of my friends, Rapid Eagle, who's in this league or was in this league before, and I got it through word of mouth, and then I picked it up and I've been grinding it ever since.
So the ISFL was your second sim league then?
Well, it was like a basketball sim league where like your GM run through Discord like on my leagues, so like I guess, but like not like one of like the affiliated ones or anything anyone would know of.
Gotcha. So this was kind of your first like forum based sim league.
Oh yeah, this was definitely the first one, and then I think I did this one just solo for a while, and then a couple months ago I got into SHL a little bit.
So is SHL the only other sim league you're a part of?
I'm in ISFL, SHL, and then I'm like very, very, very casual in PBE because I'm not a huge baseball guy. And then I also did the SC FSL, but I haven't done anything over there in a while either, which I feel kind of bad about. But it's all good.
So how does the other leagues compare to the ISFL for you? Is they up there in activity-wise, or you know, ISFL just kind of your main league?
Yeah, it's definitely ISFL is the main league. I mean, I'm not a huge hockey or baseball person. If there was like a basketball sim league or something, I'd probably hop on that real quick. But definitely the ISFL. I like there are attributes of the other two I like a lot. Like I like watching the hockey sims. I like longer careers and things like that. But I mean, nothing will come close to how much I love football. So I don't think that'll ever be overtaken.
So I know you mentioned the super casual league. Have you explored any of the other football simulation leagues?
I explored EFL a little bit, but I think I'm co-AD for Athens over there. But again, I feel bad for numbers. I really haven't done anything with that one either. I just with like school and everything. It's just been really difficult trying to get into the other ones.
Yeah, I did. I created over there. I've actually become pretty active over there as well. I think that's overtaken the SHL as my second league at this point.
Yeah.
Sorry to say that for the people in the SHL, but
it's definitely really neat.
Yeah, I love the way they got that set up. I don't want to get too much into it because this is an ISFL podcast, but I do love the way they have that set up with the, you know, the college choice, you know, having like the selection day basically. Getting drafted. I thought it was cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really like it, actually. I like the, whatchamacallit, the way they update, too.
Oh, yeah, the system over there.
Yeah, it's nice.
I know when they did the commissioner's podcast or the commissioner's Twitch stream, I don't know if you watched any of that.
No, I never got to watch that one.
It was, like, the commissioners of all the leagues, basically the SCSFL or the ISFL, EFL, PBE, SHL, like all the affiliates basically. And they started talking and they were on the stream. They started talking about sharing their, you know, some of their secrets. Like the commissioner of the SHL was talking about, you know, trying to see what he could do to help, you know, the other leagues start using a similar like banking system is what they use. Things like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, but I'm not sure when it, you know, it sounds great on the podcast and the live stream when you're talking to like users who may potentially be joining your league, but when it comes to actually doing it, I'm not sure how serious any of them were about actually sharing the things that make their league unique.
Yeah, we'll see. It could be interesting. I don't know if I see it either, but I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah, it'd be cool if all the leagues just kind of collabed and took the best parts of each one and were like, okay, cool, we're going to, you know, then you have, no matter what your experience is or what it is that you want to do, you have a cool place to go do it.
Oh yeah, I think that'd be neat, but definitely far fetched. But I like the idea.
So, did you start out your career as a quarterback?
Yeah, I actually did. I went quarterback, joined new. Everyone basically just told me not to, unless I really wanted to get into it. I didn't really do a lot of money stuff or media or equipment. I kind of just got by my personality. I got really lucky that my class had, like, no quarterbacks. And Minnesota really needed one at the top of the draft. So that was a good fit there. I fit well with them. And then Philly was the only team that really needed a quarterback. And I vibed really well with them. I think I only had one other person, not, like, seriously in the competition. But, like, I got really lucky with one I created. We'll put it like that.
So when you were going into draft night, were you pretty confident that Philly was going to be the team that took you?
Yeah. I mean, I had a pretty good feeling. It was more of like, I really think Philly's going to take me. I really like them a lot. I think they like me a lot. I was in their DMs a lot. So I was pretty sure I was going to go there. I didn't think I was going to go there at 6. But I was like, okay, well, if I don't go to Philly, then we're swapping a cornerback or something. So I'm really happy I did. I really don't think I'd be as invested in the league if I didn't get to stay at quarterback or if I didn't go to Philly.
So is it safe to say you enjoy your position?
Yeah, I really like quarterback. I mean, it's definitely not like if you have thin skin or you really care about your performance or you feel the need to, like, if you're doing a lot on the forums, you need to play really well. But it's definitely a really fun spot if you don't take it too hard and you just enjoy the stats because you basically have to, you're involved in almost every play. So it's fun to watch.
So speaking of not taking things too hard, you have basically become a meme of sorts. That happens even when you have a good game. You're basically harassed as if you had a terrible game. But you always seem to be a good sport about it. How did that start? And are you ready for that to end? Or are you just kind of accepted it at this point?
I don't know where it really came from. I think in Minnesota, I was just pretty bad.
You can blame Painted. I would love it if you blame Painted.
Yeah, we'll go with Painted. I mean, I think Painted joined me 2 seasons after me. And Painted never got any stats, so he took it out on me too. So we're going to save that part. But I think my GM, I think CC and Jamar and everyone in Minnesota really, really took it and ran with it, which was a lot of fun because I made fun of myself too. Even though I didn't really throw that many interceptions, I threw like enough that I kind of made it a joke. And then I did a lot of Twitter stuff in the beginning. Of like, I'm a meme. I thought I was supposed to get better. Stuff like that. And I think that kind of just circulated around the league. And I don't know a single person that doesn't know me as Negs Int or some form of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's based, to sum up, it's basically Painted's fault.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that something you've accepted at this point?
Oh yeah, dude.
You kind of just cool with the.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for. I am so happy. I don't GM a team that I'm on right now because I lose my mind. But once I recreate, it'll be nice to be at a position that doesn't get picked out for being if you play like crap. Where I can kind of just enjoy the game without worrying about throwing
it. You know, you may not be able to get away from that. I hate to say that.
I don't think I will. I think if I play cornerback, I'm going to get.
You could be any position at this point. You could be an offensive lineman and have a perfect game where you have a bunch of pancakes and give up no sacks, and something will still be your fault.
Dude, it's just be like that. That's just what I am at this point. I'm the meme. I'm the one everyone points their fingers at. It's fun. I think honestly, like as annoying as some people might think it is, it's really actually kind of made a name for me, and it's kind of made my reputation. Like almost there's not many people in the league that really don't know who I am. Just because a lot of it is because of that. So I'm actually pretty thankful for that. I don't think I would be where I am now in terms of like being a user without it.
So I know you talked about enjoying the fact that you were able to play in Philly and stay at quarterback. Is that something you plan to do for the rest of your career? Or are you looking to sign, you know, an extension there? Another extension there? Or are you thinking of testing the market when this contract is up?
Yeah, I'm going to resign for the max. I'll put legally tampering in just so I can make jokes and stuff. Definitely that, just because I do enjoy joking around and I don't really like worrying about being fined or whatever. I don't really know the rules well enough to not want to just make it so I don't have to be fined. But yeah, I'll re-up the max years, mutual options, opt-outs, all that fun stuff. But I'm looking forward to it. I've got some fun clauses, actually, that I already know of. So I'm looking forward to those as well.
Yeah, I know with my re-signing with Philly this last season, or this, you know, at the beginning of this current season that we're in, that was one of the things I asked for too, was the tamperable clause in there, just because I told Pat, and you know, I was like, I have no intentions on testing that clause at all. I just don't want to have to worry about what is being said to me or what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
I'd rather just, if I'm talking to somebody else who's also tamperable, we can make whatever joke and not worry about somebody taking something serious and getting in trouble at the, you know, with the head office. Yeah. So I definitely understand what you mean with the wanting to add that in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not leaving Phil anytime soon. I enjoy everyone there a lot. I don't think I would be able to just, I don't think I'd be able to like up and go to another team like I did with Norfolk. I think this is definitely like my team.
So are you hoping to retire in Philly?
Oh, I definitely will. Yeah, no doubt about it. Whether it's like position swapping or me retiring, just, I mean, honestly, I might not even swap. I think I might, if I like, well, it depends. If I play a good enough career at quarterback that I can even be like considered for anything, and I probably won't swap just to keep the reputation, but if I suck like I keep doing, I'll take a swap or something to like an offensive line or just whatever helps out the team.
So what would influence you to want to swap? Just
if we had a better option, like if we drafted a quarterback and they passed me in TPA and I didn't necessarily want to retire yet.
Gotcha.
I would just swap for a season or two, just play a low TPA.
Spend your final years as another position, as long as you're not a record breaker or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if I have any potential or any, just like even like a reputation of like anything, I don't want to like have to go back in my wiki or my.
I mean, you definitely have a reputation at quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely have a reputation. I don't know if I honestly don't think I could. Yeah, I don't know if I'll swap Negs just because.
Although I don't know, I don't know if that's a reputation that would stop me from swapping a player.
Nah, dude, it'd be funny. I think I enjoy it. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. I'd rather be a complete meme than be like a middle of the pack, like kind of just like average, no one knows.
No, absolutely.
I either want to be super, super good or super, super bad and super meme-y.
So what has been your favorite moment from the DSFL?
Oh, that's tough.
I know you're a little bit removed from it now, but...
Oh, like with my player?
Well, I mean, I guess even you as a user works too.
Honestly, probably being named captain of Minnesota, like my second or third season, that was a lot of fun. I was really gunning for that one, so I was very happy about that. I really don't remember much about the DSFL. My player was pretty bad. We didn't really do much. So I wish I could say more about that, but I really got nothing.
So what's been the best moment for you in the ISFL so far?
Oh, gosh. So many to choose from. I think definitely just had to be Junie's kick return. Like, even if it doesn't have to do with me specifically, I think that was a lot. Like, that was just, like, some of the craziest shit I've seen. Also, when we scored, like, two touchdowns. I think we scored an 80-yard touchdown against Silverbacks. Like 2 minutes left, and then we recovered the onside, and then I threw like a 60-yard pass to Borgo for a touchdown. That was a really good one too.
Yeah, that probably was those two. That was that quick score where everybody kind of had to stop and go back and watch the game to figure out what happened.
Like paused or something. Like,
it was weird. All of a sudden, we were up like two touchdowns. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, those are probably my two favorite in-game moments for sure.
Yeah, those are cool. What about you as a user? What's been your best moment in Philly so far?
My best moment in Philly. I don't know, honestly. Actually, probably when we got Hordle. That was a lot of fun. I really liked that. Because I think I was, I'd like to think that I was pretty integral. I was like pretty big in making that happen. So that was a really good feeling, getting someone that I wanted to play with originally back to here. So I was very happy about that. I think that was definitely my favorite user moment.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. So I know we talked a little bit about you and Norfolk, but you just took over as GM in Norfolk. How's that transition been for you?
It's been really good, actually. I mean, I think it's like everything that I really wanted and more right now. I think it was like one of those unique situations where like Norfolk was kind of just like, there wasn't really much to it. Like they didn't really have anything established. So I kind of felt like I could step in and rather just like try to fit in with the new people. Like kind of just like have like a mini culture revival takeover kind of thing. It was kind of like an expansion kind of thing in my mind. So that's been a lot of fun. I've been doing a lot. I've been basically the head GM over there. So I've been doing a lot of scouting, a lot of drafting. Our last class was fucking ridiculous. We're trying to replicate it this time. So I've been having a lot of fun. It's hard leaving. It was definitely hard leaving Minnesota, but it was so much fun.
So what went into that decision to leave the Grey Ducks to go become GM of Norfolk?
I mean, it was more just timing, if anything. I had Jimmy and Blass are both in Norfolk's war room, and they both really wanted me to go for it. And like I said, it wasn't like a going to London situation where it was kind of like, if that happened, where it's like they have like established everything and you kind of just have to like kind of navigate your way in. And they didn't have any like internal hires to go off. I feel like in Minnesota, they had everything under control, basically. I feel like a lot of the new users were kind of taking over that war room, and Russ and Cody were doing their thing. And I got really involved with Philly, and I just kind of fell out of touch with them, unfortunately. And honestly, just timing-wise, I'm looking to become an ISFL GM soonish. So I didn't know when the job for Minnesota was going to open up or whether I'd get it. So I figured I would just go for it and take the extra 2 seasons experience.
Any regrets now that that job did open up this last offseason?
No, dude. I have zero regrets. We had a stupid good draft class. Again, like, Minnesota would have been a lot of fun. I really would have liked it. But again, they're kind of jamming off of back-to-back Ultimate, whatever the hell it's called. They're coming off back-to-back of those. So, like, they're kind of, like, in a position where it's, like, you got to continue the success. I think in Norfolk, I'm kind of looking at it as, like, I'm building the success, like we're building the success from the ground up. And that's something unique that I didn't know if I was going to get from any other situation as well. And also, I mean, I've been in it for a season. I've gotten the seasoning and experience and everything like that. And it feels nice going into my second year with a new draft class rather than the first.
So I mean, you kind of touched on it right now, but how much you've been enjoying just being a GM over there?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, the locker room's great. I really like having the prospects. I think the past 2 seasons with our drafting and things like that, we've kind of revitalized everything. It's really active every day. Honestly, coming from a completely open locker room in Minnesota where it was like active every single day, I didn't know 100% if I was going to get that in Norfolk, but since it was closed, but it's been everything I've thought of and more, and the war room's been great. Everyone's been super welcoming, you know. I mean, I'm liking it a lot more than I thought I was going to, honestly.
Yeah, that's one of the locker rooms that always evaded me.
I don't think I was ever in this one as well.
Yeah, they never scouted me when I was a prospect.
We're exclusive, dude. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, I know. I got scouted by a couple exclusive locker rooms, but not Norfolk.
You and Greg both.
Oh, Greg didn't get scouted by Norfolk either?
I think he did get scouted, but I don't know if he got a war. He's always asking for a locker room invite.
Because you got that exclusive club. Same way I hound Katasa all the time.
I just got into Orange County today because I'm their new updater.
Trying to convince Katasa that he absolutely does need me in the Tijuana server.
Didn't they, like, raffle off?
Like, oh, I'm not sure. If I saw that, though, I probably would have jumped on that one just so I could be in there and harass Katasa every day.
I think that was for the charity event. Pretty sure they did that.
Oh, yeah. If they do that again, it's on. Yeah, I'm winning that. Winning that so I can mess with Katasa every morning. See, I get to mess with you already in Philly, so it's not as appealing. Although, you know, it is that exclusive club over there in Norfolk now.
It's all about the exclusivity.
You know, I did give you some props on the last podcast I recorded with G2019.
Really?
Talking about, yeah, the props? Yeah, we gave you props. We didn't. We ripped on you a little bit, but then we gave you props.
Sweet.
No, I kind of agree with what you said about, from what I've seen since I've joined the league, there wasn't too much of a culture over there in Norfolk. And if there was, I apologize to anybody that I offended with that. But From when I came in, it kind of seemed like that was one of the teams that was just lacking a culture, like a direction. And I feel like you are one of the perfect people to get in there and not only build a culture, but get that team flowing in the direction that it needs to become competitive again. I know they had, I'm pretty sure Norfolk had that like random championship run at one point, not too long ago, but I don't think that was a consistent thing there.
Yeah, we're looking for another one of those random runs this year.
Yeah, so you want to go from move that from random runs to consistent runs and runs that are too expected.
Yeah, that's what we're all about. I mean, last draft, because it was our first one, we kind of rebuilt the team from the ground up, basically. That one was super, super important. But I've been telling people, like, this one's probably more important just because it's a second draft class, so you got to show you can do it in succession. Like, one draft class doesn't make a good team or a good culture. You just got to keep pumping it in every single year. I mean, it's what London's been doing forever now, so.
Yeah, we had a down season this last year. We had between the call-ups and some of the stuff we had, and then a few of our draft picks definitely did not stay as active as what we would have liked. This draft class we're looking to hit with – you know, I mean, I can't say looking to hit with all our picks.
I already know you're taking that one. So,
you think you do. I don't think you're right.
I know for a fact.
You know, I can't say that, you know, we're looking to take them all, you know, but that should be the outlook of every draft class. So, but we're definitely super focused on making sure that we get some active users and users back in the locker room to replenish the talent that has gone up to the ISFL, kind of in the same position as you. Just starting over with basically a bunch of new players at almost every position. Yeah. We're lucky that we do have Parm at quarterback, so we're not starting over without a QB, but I think we'll see a lot of new players coming in that hopefully we'll be active and helping the team this next season. So I'm looking forward to this draft class.
Oh yeah. You guys are going to be good. It's pretty fun to be in. I mean, cause there's nothing off limits in the draft. You need everything. So you don't even have to go into it thinking like any positional value, just pure user based.
Yeah. For us, I mean, we're not obviously not looking at quarterback, but outside of that, I mean, we're kind of in a spot where we need everything. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Looking to match good user personalities to the locker room. Hopefully we get a bunch of nice guys that come in and fit with the culture I'm trying to build.
Absolutely. I think you got it. I got confidence.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun to do this at the same time as you being new. Being our relationship with, you know, Philly and
Bowling
and everything like that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Especially being the chances that we can sit there and go against each other, potential matchups will be nice. So.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
Now, just like us, this last season obviously didn't go your way, but what did you learn from this last season that you can take into the next one?
I mean, all I learned basically throughout the whole thing was that we had a really, really young team. So the message the entire time was just basically like, keep earning. I promise you, even as bleak as it seems, because we started at like 0-6 or something like that, that we're just going to keep on getting better and keep on improving, which, I mean, was true. I mean, week 7, we beat Minnesota. And after that, we ended up the season. I mean, it sounds really bad, but we ended up the season 3-5 versus starting 0-6.
Yeah.
So I was just all about preaching that, and I definitely learned to – I mean, I didn't – honestly, I can't say I learned to keep a level head, because that's what I've been doing my whole career. It's just keeping a level head and not letting it get to me. So I've been fine with it. The locker room has been great. I mean, the guys have been great through it all. Like, it's hard for new users to stick around at 3-11 and, like, still have a good time and enjoy the locker room every day, but they did it. They've been really great. We have some really great leaders.
So what are we getting from Norfolk next season?
I'm getting an old time of that, guaranteed. Write it down. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, I can't reveal anything because of the draft and everything like that. But next year, there's potential at least to have every single player sent back down besides one. And we have, right now we have 14 actives, so that would be bringing back 13 people, which is like Minnesota territory.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good spot to be in.
Yeah, so we're going to, and like, we didn't have any capped players last year until like week 8 or week 10 or something like that. But right now we should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We should have 7. We should have 8 bordering on 9 capped players next season. And then plus this new draft class where we're picking a second every single round. So, I mean, I think we can make noise and maybe make playoffs. I would love to at least have a positive win-loss record.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that elusive second win of my GM career. So,
yeah, I'm looking for number 4. But I think we're going to be pretty good. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. Unless just, like, my sim luck just takes over.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. At this point, you know, it sounds like you guys are on paper in a good position, but what I figured out with this league doesn't – this league doesn't seem to care about what the paper says sometimes.
Nope. It's all about the user behind it. I'm cursed.
So do you have any GM aspirations at the ISFL level?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's no secret that I want a GM Philly eventually. Obviously, I love for Pat and Cody to stick around as long as possible, but once they do decide to hang it up, I would love to do that.
Yeah, that's, I think there's the goal. Yeah, I think I'm not sure how many more seasons they have. I know I haven't really heard anything much about either of them wanting to step down, but I know they've been there for a while.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't doubt another 3 or 4 or 5 seasons. So I'm not rushing it. I mean, I'll probably only be in Norfolk for another two, probably tops after this, just because I'm a pretty strong believer in DSFL GMs being max 4 seasons to give other people a chance. So, I mean, I'm in no rush. I like to say I'm shadow GM anyways, so.
Oh, I think everybody that's in a war room somewhere likes to feel like they're, you know, shadow GMs. And if you're in a strong war room that's active in decisions, I mean, your voice is heard as much as, you know, the GMs are anyways at that point.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's just without the title. We're all basically in Philadelphia, in the war room especially. I don't know there's not one person's opinion we value more than the other. Which gets us into some heated debates, but
just maybe some people's a little less.
Yeah, like Pat. I don't know.
You know, Cody sometimes.
Yeah, depending on what bad take you have. But, yeah. I mean, I would say, if anything, the most devalued opinions are Pat and Cody's.
I think that's just because everybody likes to talk over the GMs.
Yeah, dude. We don't let them get in the word.
They like to make sure that... After. Yeah, they like to make sure that their word is heard first.
Yeah, they're like the children. I mean, no, they're like the parents where the children that just yell at each other, and then they come in and they're like, okay, let's settle.
Parents down. Try to talk. The child has to make sure that what they want to say is said before the parents get their words in.
Yeah, dude. We have some fun debates. Some of them get a lot faster moving in the chat than others, but they're great.
So I know we just talked about your GM aspirations. What are your goals as a user in this league?
Ooh, I would love to say Hall of Fame, but I'm just going to like temper those expectations real quick. I just don't think we're ever going to have the luck for it. Honestly, just be a GM, make a lot of new relationships. I don't know, honestly. I don't have any goals. Probably win a championship at some point, win some awards, the usual stuff. I mean, a lot of it centers around being a GM, which I find is probably I honestly probably enjoy being a GM more than I actually care about my player.
Like, oh yeah, I
focus on Norfolk more than anything, and then it's like, oh, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, we have games, and then I update once a week, and I'm capped. I'm basically capped by now, so like I just watch the games; they're fun. But honestly, I enjoy the GMing and the management side a lot more than the player side.
Yeah, I can't say that I've. You know, that I enjoy, well, I guess, one more than the other, but I definitely really enjoy the management side.
Yeah.
This is definitely a good taste at what GMing in the ISFL is like. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's why another reason I chose Norfolk, because I didn't know when any spots would be open in the ISFL, and I'd rather be more prepared for it than less.
Yeah, this has been fun. And I'm like you. I don't plan on being a GM in the DSFL for, you know, forever, trying to stay for a long period of time. It seems like we always – in London, it seems like they have a pretty good culture of, you know, a few seasons and then passing it on to a new up-and-comer and getting them involved. So I plan on continuing that.
Yeah, we already have 3 or 4 people that I would be comfortable taking over tomorrow. So
I could take a wild guess at who some of those are. I think I might have had one on my podcast the other day.
Nah, dude. He's a bum.
Yeah.
He's like 7th, 8th, maybe, tops.
That's what I heard. I do I know this isn't really promotion because the podcast will have already been out by the time this one airs, but I did give G 2019 a chance to address the draft rumors and let him tell teams exactly what he wanted to say and kind of address it on his way. So he was able to basically kind of clear the air of what he, you know, what he feels is clearing the air out. And
we're talking about the direct messages to everybody, right?
Yes.
Yes. I have. Yeah.
So I gave him a chance to tell his side of the story.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yes, it was good. Yeah, you know, he's
that one.
I know you're laughing over there, but it wasn't a bad thing. He you know, I liked what he had to say, and he was very clear that just because he wanted to go a certain place that he doesn't expect, you know, teams to just pass up on him if he happens to be sitting there when they go on the clock. But
yeah, that one hurt. That one hurt a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't know that he directly named you during the segment, but there was a part that I believe was directly, you know, was tied to you. But
yeah, that one hurt a little bit just because I think I was probably his biggest cheerleader in Norfolk in terms of the draft. Like, I have doubts that if I wasn't there, we would have got. There's a chance you guys might have gotten him at 3.
We discussed that too.
Yeah. So then him coming out and being like, "Yeah," that hurt a little bit. But honestly, like, I'm the type of guy that, like, I'm all pro player. Like, if he's gonna have the most fun at one spot, then I support it 100%. And we both know that.
You can.
We both talked about that a little bit too.
You could go ahead and say the name of the team that he wanted to go to. He did name them by name on the podcast.
Colorado, yeah.
He did address that, and, you know, talk about how that is his favorite spot because of some of the people there. But
yeah,
that he's not against going to other teams, and he kind of wanted to clear the air because he felt like he was, like, it was kind of going around that he was like, no, don't draft me. I only want to play for this team, and he kind of wanted to make it known that that's not his outlook. That he just would prefer to play for this, you know, team. So
I think. I mean, it sucks because I know there's probably a few people that, like, soured on him. He's one of, like, the best guys you'll ever meet in the league, like, by far, easily. Eventually, will probably be known as a top 10 just pure person user in this league.
Yeah,
I just think he probably could have handled it a better way.
Yeah, he definitely
accepted that too. But that's just how I told him that too. I was like, you might have irked a few people, and there was definitely honestly a better way to handle it. But if he gets what he gets at the end, and he really has a good time, people are just gonna forget. He's not gonna fall on his whole career.
Yeah, that's not something that's going to stick. It's something that's going to go through this draft, and after that, it's going to be over. And if he gets a chance to go to Colorado, fantastic. And if another team takes him, hopefully he can salvage a relationship with that team, who obviously wasn't too turned off by his statement. So
yeah, and I'll always get to give him shit for the whole situation, which is the best part.
Yeah, no, he was pretty excited to address that. So
yeah, well, I'm glad he did, because I think. It was definitely misconstrued.
So I know we're sitting here talking about G2019, but who has been some of your favorite members that you've gotten a chance to interact with since your time in this league?
Oh, just in general. I know he's not in the league anymore, and it's pretty polarizing, but Django is actually the first person I really got along with in this league. He's actually part of the reason why I got so into it in the first place. I kind of lived in his DMs for the first couple of days. He's really good about helping me out. I hate to say it, but CC is probably one of my favorite people in the league. He drafted me. I talk to him every couple of days or so. Play Halo together and all that fun stuff. Obviously, Pat and Cody, Russ. There's so many people. You, like, there's just, like, so many people that I could just talk about in the league that I really, really, really get along with. Or, like, really enjoy just being around. It's just a really, really great community in general. But, yeah. And then I found people that live, like, 20 minutes away from me and a lot of fun stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but it was really a lot of good users. It's like the, whatchamacallit. It was like that thankfulness PT, and I forgot, like, everybody. There's just way too many people.
Yeah, that was kind of what inspired me to do this. I thought about it after that. I was like, you know, that'd be kind of cool to add a question in. And so the last couple podcasts I've done, I've added this in, just kind of giving people a chance to, you know, maybe shout out users who they've enjoyed talking to or just kind of want to give a shout out to. So.
Oh, absolutely.
So now if you had anything you wanted to discuss, like a topic or any questions you wanted to ask me, this is where I'll turn it over to you.
I mean, I just want to hear you say it, that I won the first game at bowling.
I after looking back at the comments, I will say you did win the first game of bowling.
All right, cool.
And then you did admit that it was the warm-up game.
Nope.
And then you did admit to getting smoked on the next round.
All right. You know, I thought I was asking the questions here and running an interview.
I'm still answering your question, though. I'm responding to you.
I had as the interviewer, I had cut you off at that point, so that was overstepping of your bounds.
Pretty sure your girlfriend also beat you that second time around, but we don't need to talk about that either.
She got lucky. What else?
Doesn't count because she's not in the league, right?
Yeah.
Dude. You were second of everybody that's in the league.
Yeah, she doesn't even exist in the league. I came in second. We'll leave it at that. What else? You guys still have Peterson on your team? Damn. That was a long time ago. Oh, I do have a question. What went into your last draft? Like, how was it being as a first-time GM?
Oh, it was awesome. Scouting has been one of my favorite things since I got in here. I like talking to the new users, meeting new people. It's part of the reason why I do this podcast the way I do and interview people. So even before I was a GM, I loved the scouting aspect. So actually getting a chance to approach the draft from, I don't know, I guess it was a different feeling coming at it as a GM as opposed to just a member of the war room. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was a little more, you know, being GM, you have a little more guidance and a little more, I guess, direction and kind of where you want to go with it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to just take the part that I love the most, or one of the things I love the most about the league, and try to build a nice team that would be very active and helpful here in London. And while we had a couple misses, we had some really good hits as well. So I'm looking forward to eliminating those misses this next time around and hopefully drafting a class full of active, helpful players that are going to be very successful at the next level.
Yeah. I mean, there's always room for learning. That's the best part about it. And honestly, the DSFL, like, we're not really judged on winning. We're just judged on developing. So missing doesn't hurt as bad as it does in the DSFL.
Yeah, that is true.
Is Daniel DeBoek still active? I really liked him in the draft, actually.
I really enjoyed him, too. He's been he pops in every now and again. Uh-huh. I think he's popped in enough to possibly stay forum active, but
yeah,
he's no longer actively earning over here. He's very active in the super casual football league, though.
Oh, God. Yeah, he was one of the people, like, before we took Snowy, that I was like, we actually were thinking about taking as well.
Yeah, he was somebody I had a very good conversation with in that scouting class.
Yeah.
There's quite a few users. I know picking behind you was was not where I wanted to be either.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to doing it this time around. I'm picking behind you because I think we fit. I think we think very similarly.
I think so. There was
player evaluation.
There was a few times where we had, like, you know, we're going into a round. We had our top prospects on the board, and we're watching as, like, number five goes here, number six goes here, number three goes here. And it'll get, you know, as we're watching it come around, and then it gets back to the top. And sure enough, all these teams just passed on this guy. But here goes you and Norfolk taking somebody that we had evaluated as, like, the, you know, one of the best talents left.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. On to the next.
We did a lot of scouting. Like, a lot of scouting. I think I can actually check back in our spreadsheet really quick. But, where is it? Oh, it's all black now. But, yeah, I think we had G-Beck scout, like, 10 people, like, 5 or 10 people. Flex did a couple people, but I think I scouted like 90% of that class. So I had like a really, really, like, mostly like when you do split, I mean, I don't recommend people to just do it all by themselves because it's fun to get other people involved, but I didn't really have anyone left the first season. So I think when you evaluate an entire class by yourself, you get a really, really good idea of the tiers of it, just personally. Cause like I basically scouted everyone to the point and followed up that I kind of had tiers in my mind and I knew who I liked, I knew who I preferred, regardless of position. So I think that gave me a little bit of an advantage, even though it's not something that you should do every single time.
I think that was another thing too, that I found interesting for my first draft as a GM, was trying to decide when do you stray away from a positional need to draft somebody whose position you're, you know, maybe a little full at, to bring a awesome user into your locker room and try to figure out ways to keep them involved in the team. I think that was something that you definitely have to put a little more thought into as GM as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, luckily, like, you're going to do it this year, and I got it last year, where, like, you basically, if you get a clean slate, like, we went into the draft, it was like, okay, we're picking anybody. Like, we do not give a single shit at this point. Like, we need every single position, except for running back, actually. So, but we needed every single position outside of running back, legitimately. Like, we had no wide receivers, we had no quarterback, we had no offensive line, we barely had a defense, we had like one corner. So I think that was definitely another thing too. But I think in the DSFL, user usually wins out, because you can kind of fit anyone everywhere, maybe besides running back and wide receiver and quarterback. But yeah, that was a really good draft. We were really, really happy about the value we got. Like, I think at every single pick, I was really happy who we took, except for, I think, round 7, where I took an inactive and TP got sniped like 3 picks earlier than I wanted it. But that was the only thing I really felt like I missed on, was not getting TP at like pick 50 when it went to 47 at Tijuana.
Yeah, there was, you towards the end there, it got to the point where there was only a few players who we had, I guess, evaluated as possibly being able to make active or kind of coke back to the league.
Yeah, I think Lucas Rocks was who he took at 50 as safety. He was like an SCFSL. I think he ghosted that league too, honestly. But I had a pretty good conversation with him. And like, he actually ended up getting like to 80 TP and then just kind of ghosted everybody. Apparently, even like, he was a GM in the SCFSL and ghosted them too. And then our final pick, we needed a kicker. So we got a kicker that wasn't a bot. But he was completely inactive. But yeah, we came out and we got I think also in the class, we got a right after post draft defensive tackle who's active now. And then we got Patty, like another season 31 guy on waivers. So we ended up with I think 8 actives total from this class, which is really, really, we were really happy about.
Yeah, we hit really good with our waiver pickup as well with Doorknob.
Doorknob, yeah, I wanted him really badly.
Oh yeah, Doorknob's been fantastic. He's already made himself comfortable in our war room, and he's contributing to helping build the next successful team at London. So that was an awesome really snag there.
I really wanted him because I had, like, when he joined, I scouted him. He was really funny. So I really wanted him. I actually didn't think you guys were going to take him because I thought you were just going to bank on Peterson.
Yeah, well, we weren't weren't really looking for a kicker at that point.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh shit, because I think we were next in the waivers. Like, oh my god, dude.
But he had he had already retired, so we knew we would need one this coming up season. So we're like, you know what? Doorknob's awesome. He's active. Like, let's just start that kicker transition now and move on. Our kicker's retired. Let's get this new guy in and get a nice user to our locker room.
Yeah, I got snagged on kickers twice. That was really annoying. I was not happy about that. But we got Patty, and he's fucking great. So, can't be mad.
So, moving here to the end, I got a couple questions that I always like to wrap up with.
Yeah.
What do you consider to be your favorite sport? I know you touched on this in the beginning with your sim leagues, but...
Yeah, it's definitely basketball. I played basketball. I mean, I played basketball, soccer, and baseball growing up. I quit baseball in, like, sixth grade because it was really boring. I quit soccer in eighth grade. But I played basketball throughout high school, so definitely basketball. And I play pickup a lot, so I'm not great, but definitely my favorite sport. I never played football because my mom and my grandparents told me that they would have heart attacks if I did, so that was a no-go.
So where'd the love for football come from?
Growing up, my dad went to Georgia, so a lot of my memories like that I have with my dad are watching Georgia. Like, I watched... Since I was like 8, I think I've watched every single Georgia game every single Saturday with him before I went to college. So that's where it came from for sure. I mean, I go to Appalachian State right now, and I'm still a diehard Georgia fan, no doubt.
So what do you consider to be your all-time greatest sports moment or memory? Doesn't necessarily have to be on the field, just something for you that always sticks out.
I mean, I have one. Playing basketball, we had like the public school, private school, all boys school kind of rivalry always in high school, and we played them at home, and it was a packed gym, and I had my best game that time. That was a lot of fun. My best sports watching memory was actually a couple years ago when Georgia played in the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma in the playoffs, and we won like 48-42 in double overtime, and me and my dad freaked. That was so nice. It would have been us beating Alabama, but we choked. But that's definitely by far my favorite sports watching moment.
It's awesome. So, who are your favorite teams and why?
In sports in general.
Yeah, just sports in general.
I'll rattle them off. My favorite NBA team is the Celtics. My buddy, growing up before I got into the NBA, lived in Massachusetts and went to Boston every summer. So, I picked up basketball with him. He's a big reason why I played it too. So definitely. Because of him, and then I just kind of kept through it, which is a lot of fun. Football's the Giants because I live in Jersey, and Jets are there. What other
sports? Did I not know you were a Giants fan?
Dude, I'm a huge Giants fan. Saquon Barkley coming back, Danny Dimes, franchise quarterback, next NFL MVP.
Oh, no.
Why do you think my name is Daniel Jones, dude?
I thought you were being funny. I thought that was part of the joke.
No, dude. The joke is I'm a Giants fan.
That's the joke. I thought you picked Daniel Jones as your render to go along with the whole Negs thing you were building here. But
I picked it before that, and then it just went seamlessly. I feel like it wouldn't be right if I was like Aaron Rodgers render. I feel like Daniel Jones was just the perfect render for me.
So how are you going to feel when they move on from Daniel Jones?
We're not going to, so I don't even know why we're talking about it, being honest with you.
I feel like that's coming soon.
I mean, I feel like he's going to have a pretty good year this year. I mean, he's finally a Saquon back. Galladay, our offensive line should be, like, marginally better.
This will definitely be a prove-it season for the Giants, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no. I think most Giants fans are expecting at least 9-7, or at least 10-7, whatever the 17-game season is.
Yeah, I think that's a little much.
Possible playoffs. I think it's much, too. I think we're probably going to go, like, 9-8, 8-9, somewhere on there, just middle of the pack.
If I was a Giants fan, I'd be happy with a 50-50 split. You know, I know you can't do 50-50 fully anymore. But
yeah, Giants fans are kind of dicks. So not as dicky as Eagles fans or Cowboys fans, but we're very demanding.
Oh no, Eagles fans are the worst.
Yeah, dude, everyone hates Eagles fans. No one likes an Eagles fan.
No offense to Eagles fans, but
complete offense
when you throw beer. Like beer cans at children, you just become like the worst of the worst fans. There's so many videos of them rude ass Eagles fans just pelting opposing families with beer cans as they walk into the stadium.
I can't stand the Eagles fans.
Well, all right, man. I guess if you don't have anything else for me, I guess we're going to go ahead and wrap up for the night.
Oh, dude, that's perfect timing. I actually got a Halo game right now.
Oh, that's perfect.
I suck.
Well, right on, man. Best of luck sucking at Halo, and I appreciate you taking the time out to come on the show tonight.
All right, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Of course, man. Talk to you later.
See you.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Special thanks to Negs. And if you like the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.